champion holding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. Were included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Now, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And greetings from Technocracy News and Trends. Patrick Wood here, editor-in-chief and founder of Technocracy News and Trends. Today is July 9, 2019. And even as we start, I want to express how difficult it is sometimes to withhold cynicism and sarcasm. Because when dealing with these stories on technocracy that come up from all over the world, it's hard sometimes not to get into a snarky mood. But I will try and resist as much as possible today. These three stories are head shakers. Well, if you decide to go to France, it doesn't matter how you get there, whether by airplane or any other mode of transportation, but if you leave by airplane, you're going to be paying an extra tax now, an eco-tax, to make up for the emissions from the airplane that fly across the continent or the ocean. The story starts out and says, France will introduce an eco-tax of up to £18 on tickets for all flights leaving the country, the government has announced. Transport Minister Elizabeth Borne told a news conference that 180 million euros is expected to be raised from 2020 onward. The fees will raise, and it will finance daily transport in the country. The new tax will range from 1.5 euros for a short-haul flight up to 18 euros for long-haul journeys in business class. The move comes amid an escalating planetary climate emergency, which is disproportionately being caused by a tiny percentage of people who use airplanes for transport. Only around 5% of the world's population takes flights, but air travel contributes an estimated 2% of the globe's total carbon emissions. But a new study suggests that the overall effects of flying could be far more damaging to the climate than first thought. Now here's the twist of the story. Up to now, you would just write it off as anti-carbon activists complaining about CO2 in the atmosphere. But the article continues, it identified trails left by planes in the sky as a far more damaging effect on the climate than all the carbon dioxide ever emitted from their engines. The tracks, called contrails, linger in the sky as ice clouds and trap heat in the Earth's atmosphere. This is an unaccounted source of climate warming from air travel, and researchers from the Institute of Atmospheric Physics in Germany said the problem is set to triple by 2050. So now we learn that when planes take to the sky, the carbon emitted from their engines is minute compared to the heat trapped because of the contrails. This causes me to shake my head. I've watched contrails all my life, having lived next to an airport when I was young. And of course, in the Phoenix area, there's plenty of airplanes that traverse the sky. Contrails are ice crystals, and when an airplane flies at a high enough altitude where the air is freezing, often a short trail will appear behind the airplane that indeed is ice crystals, but they seldom last more than 1 or 2 or 3 miles, and they evaporate because they're ice crystals. There's just nothing that can be said that can explain the logic behind blaming contrails for global warming. It's absolutely incredulous. And yet, this logic is being used to impose a new tax, an eco-tax, to punish flyers for taking the flight in the first place and polluting the atmosphere with ice crystals. The next story is almost as bad. The headline is ripped. Pre-crime AI is a bigger scam than psychic detectives. I wrote at the beginning of this, technocrats believed their own twisted logic, and it came around to bite them. For all the hype, promises, and millions spent, predictive policing is finally being recognized as a total scam. The article states, law enforcement agencies around the world have recently begun extricating themselves from expensive, inefficient predictive policing systems. The machine learning equivalent of psychic detectives, it turns out, simply doesn't work. In Palo Alto, California, a three-year-long program using predictive policing is finally being shuttered. Police spokesman Janine De La Vega told the LA Times, "We didn't get any value out of it. It didn't help us solve crime." In nearby Mountain View as well, a spokesman for the police department said, quote, "We tested the software and eventually subscribed to the service for a few years, but ultimately the results were mixed and we discontinued the service," close quote. Predictive policing is a black box AI technology purported to take years of historical policing data, that is, maps, arrest records, and so on, and convert it into actionable insights which predict hotspots for future criminal activity. The big idea here is that AI tells law enforcement leaders where and when to deploy officers in order to prevent crimes from happening. Another way of putting it, an AI determines that locations where crimes have already happened is a good place for cops to hang out in order to deter more crimes from happening. We could point out that cops should already be deploying officers to high crime areas as a method of proactive policing in between reacting to calls, but many agencies are getting hip to that on their own. In Rio Rancho, New Mexico, for instance, according to the LA Times, police realized the system was ineffective and redundant. Captain Andrew Rodriguez said, quote, "It never panned out. It didn't really make much sense to us. It wasn't telling us anything we didn't already know." Well, the article continues, psychic detectives don't have real psychic abilities. They're a scam. Whether intentional or not, the perpetrators of these ridiculous claims waste taxpayer dollars, police resources, and valuable time that could be spent on actual investigations. They were all the rage as recently as the early 2000s. Most police departments, thankfully, now recognize that humans absolutely don't have psychic powers. But even as frauds, human psychics are still better than AI-powered predictive policing systems. It would almost certainly be more cost-effective and equally as accurate if police were to outsource crime prediction to psychics for a reasonable salary rather than continue paying companies like Predpol for their predictive policing products, installations, updates, and subscriptions. Yes, subscriptions, monthly. This is because AI cannot predict crime. It just analyzes risk. Furthermore, it's a confirmation bias scam. If, for example, the AI says a particular area is at the highest possible risk for crime and officers deploy there but find no crime, well, the AI is working because the police presence deterred crime. And if the officers do spot crime, of course, the algorithms are working because it knew there'd be crime. You see, it can't lose by the technocrat mind. Well, black box AI can't explain why it makes a given prediction, and its ability to predict crime cannot be measured in any meaningful way. Technocracy News and Trends has said from the very beginning of deployment of pre-crime AI software that it would never work, that it could not work, that the entire concept was flawed, and that it was being sold like snake oil. The technocrat mindset that every problem in society demands a scientific or an engineered solution is simply wrong. we should not be giving any preference whatsoever to technocrats to solve problems in society, at least not without very careful vetting and testing of any solution before it's implemented. The third story today is another head shaker that also validates the thought that technocrats should not be allowed to simply provide solutions to society without vetting them and their solutions very carefully before doing so. The headline of this story is "Scientists Claim We Are Living in a Computer Simulation." Now, this is a story that simply will not go away. Every so often, 6 months, 9 months, or a year, the theory comes back to the forefront of the media as scientists make wild claims that we're possibly living in a computer simulation, entire world. Well, this was the premise of the movie The Matrix many years ago, that everything people were doing in their life was a simulation. It was just imagined. And I wrote at the beginning of this, the technocrat mind that is given over to such vain speculations should never be trusted to deliver scientific solutions that potentially affect all of society. It's time for rational people to just say no to their schemes and dreams. It's necessary to read part of this article to you so that you can understand it. What if everyone around us, it starts, the people, the stars overhead, the ground beneath our feet, even our bodies and minds, were an elaborate illusion? What if our world were simply a hyper-realistic simulation with all of us merely characters in some kind of sophisticated video game? This, of course, is a familiar concept from science fiction books and films, including the 1999 blockbuster movie The Matrix. But some physicists and philosophers say it's possible that we really do live in a simulation, even if that means casting aside what we know or think we know about the universe and our place in it. Oxford philosopher Nick Bostrom wrote in a 2003 paper, quote, "If we are living in a simulation, then the cosmos that we are observing is just a tiny piece of the totality of physical existence." Bostrom was the one that actually jump-started the conversation years ago about what has come to be known as the simulation hypothesis. He said, "While the world we see is in some sense real, it is not located at the fundamental level of reality." Rizwan Virk, founder of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology's Playlabs program and author of the simulation hypothesis, is among those who take the simulation hypothesis seriously, an MIT professor. He recalls playing a virtual reality game so realistic that he forgot he was in an empty room with a headset on. That led him to wonder, are we sure we aren't embedded within a world created by beings more technologically savvy than ourselves? That question makes sense to Rick Terrell, a computer scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. Detailed as they are, today's best simulations don't involve artificial minds, but Terrell thinks the ability to model sentient beings could soon be within our grasp. He said, "We are within a generation of being those gods who create those universes." Not everyone is convinced. The article continues. During a 2016 debate at the American Museum of National History in New York City, Harvard University physicist Lisa Randall said the odds that a simulation hypothesis is correct are effectively zero. For starters, there's no evidence that our world isn't an array of stars and galaxies that it appears to be. And she wonders why advanced beings would bother to simulate Homo sapiens. She said, "Why simulate us? I mean, there are so many things to be simulating. I don't know why this higher species would want to bother with us." Now, there's some logic for you, by the way. It wasn't repudiating the theory as nonsense, but using a twisted logic to ask why would aliens want to simulate Homo sapiens? That's a question. Not evidence to the contrary. The article continues, yet there's a familiar ring to the idea that there's a simulator or creator who does care about us. Similarly, the idea of a superior being forging a simulated universe parallels the notion of a deity creating the world. For example, as described in the book of Genesis. Some thinkers, including Terrell, welcome the analogy to religion. If the simulation hypothesis is correct, he says, then there's a creator, an architect, someone who has designed the world. It's an ancient idea recast in terms of mathematics and science rather than just faith. But for other scholars, including University of Maryland physicist Sylvester James Gates, the similarity between the simulation hypothesis and religious belief should be taken as a warning that we're off the track. Science, as he said in a recent radio interview, has taken us away from this idea that we are puppets controlled by an unseen entity. The simulation hypothesis, he said, starts to look like a religion with a programmer substituting for God. Who or what is the godlike entity that may have created a simulated universe? One possibility, supporters of the simulation hypothesis say, is that it's a race of advanced beings, space aliens. Even more mind-bending is the possibility that it's our own descendants, our future selves, as Terrell puts it. That is, humans living hundreds of thousands of years in the future might develop the ability to simulate not only a world like ours, but the bodies and minds of the beings within it. There's nothing you can do except shake your head at a story like this. Scientists and university academics that are caught up with this entire notion that we're living in a computer simulation are the same technocrats that are providing technology to solve the world's problems. Is there something wrong with this picture? Why would society trust this type of mind to provide scientific solutions to change society according to their image of society? There's no way to explain it. I would stop short of saying that these people need to be locked up in a padded cell, but honestly, I think some of them really do need some psychiatric help to straighten their minds out. They need to be brought back down to earth to use their high education to solve real problems in a real world. If you haven't read my book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order, now would be a good time. I can't stress enough that society is under tremendous strain because of people like this trying to change our world into an image that simply is not realistic and certainly not what real people ask for. They're just doing it. This whole line of thinking and practices needs to be rejected. It's called technocracy. It's not Marxism. It's not communism. It's not socialism. It's technocracy. And technocracy is driven by technocrats who believe that they and they alone have the truth about the world and how the world should be changed, and that they and they alone control the repository of information that uses the scientific method to prescribe all of the things that humanity needs to do to save itself. This is insanity. This is exactly why I wrote Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. It's exactly why I wrote Technocracy Rising, The Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. And it's deadly serious because nobody is paying attention to this fifth column of actors in our society. People are carping on the Marxist and the communist and socialist among us. And yes, there are those elements among us. People are carping at Democrats if they're Republican and Republicans if they're Democrat, figuring that's the source of our problems. Others blame aliens as the source of our problems. But alas, no, it's the technocrats among us that are asserting authority over actually transforming the world into something else. They need to be rejected. They need to be stopped. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. We'll see you next time.